Have you ever described a job you had as a nightmare? Maybe it was a crazy demanding boss, a nutty coworker, or just insane everything. If you've ever had a workplace where you had to say, you can't make this shit up on a daily basis, we want to hear about it. Anonymously, of course, on our new podcast, Office Horror Stories. Each week, we'll play back your calls, read your stories, and discuss the craziest, most extreme, and intense workplaces of all time. But to do that, we need your stories. If you have a crazy workplace story in your past or maybe even present, tell us about it anonymously. Just call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. We don't want your name. We don't want the name of the workplace. We just want your story. So you can go ahead and let it all out anonymously. Call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 1-833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. That's officehorrorstories.com. Now you have an outlet to share the craziness that is or was your office. Then stay tuned as we launch the new podcast, Office Horror Stories, this fall. Tell us your story now at officehorrorstories.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, paranormal investigator ghost stories can sometimes be the most compelling. Stories of the dead returning to haunt the living, unexplained forces on very dark missions, entities following them home. Paranormal investigators often see the best and worst of supernatural activity. Today, we hear a chilling story from one such investigator as they come face to face with the very supernatural activity they're seeking out.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. 855-853-4802. The number to call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to share your ghost stories with us. Support the program. Become an extra podcast person. Get all the bonus episodes and advanced episodes of the show. Brand new ones every single week. GhostPodcast.com, the place to do that. Or Patreon.com/RealGhostStories. Tony and Jenny Brusky joining you once again.
Hi.
In all the years of doing this program, have you ever had the desire to become a paranormal investigator? To go out into the scenes of ghostly... what word am I looking for? Ghostly infestation. That sounds good.
No, if anything, this show's made me want to run even further from that. It, you know, places that we go that we know are haunted, you know, I would have been like, okay, this is neat. Now I'm like, I don't really want to go in there, but I will.
So has it made you more hesitant to go into the places that are haunted? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Whereas if you had never done this show, you'd have been like, oh, it's haunted. That's interesting.
I would have, you know, been more, I guess, open to going in. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, I don't want to go in.
What's made you feel that way? Was there ever a story that made you, that flipped that switch for you, that scarred you essentially? What traumatic experience did you hear about that made you feel that way?
All the stories where a listener's gone in some place haunted and something's either attached to them or followed them home.
Was there one for you that stood out?
No, it's all of them over 6 years. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if there is a specific... dark attachment.
No, just
story.
Just all of them.
Because it kind of reinforces it every time. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't mind going out every now and then to like go do a ghost tour or something of that nature. I can say I have gone out on a ghost investigation, very amateur one with folks who really didn't know what they were doing.
Sure.
Like 15 years ago or so. It was like through a meetup when meetup was brand new. And I had just moved to Wichita and knew no one. And I thought, oh, this might be kind of fun. So I did that. And was okay. I mean, it was, I still remember it to this day. It was the, it's called JC's House of Rock. I don't know if it's still there or not, but it was, I've talked about it on the air. It was the, this venue that was like a bar and they would have concerts there. Mm-hmm. And, there had been a tragedy there, like not that, that far in the past, to when I toured it, where some people had been chopped up in the basement.
Oh.
And murdered. And
that's one Wichita murder story I didn't hear about.
Yeah. Hey, add another one to the list.
Yeah.
That'd be a book in itself. And it was really disturbing. So it was like, oh, this was 10, 15 years ago. It wasn't that mm-hmm. far prior. And there was all these stories of people, you know, being pushed and seeing things and hearing things. I saw absolutely nothing and felt absolutely nothing. And I'm not saying that the place isn't haunted. I just personally didn't have anything happen. But it sure as hell felt eerie. Yeah. I went down to that basement by myself, just with a flashlight. I had nothing to record on. This was prior to smartphones. This is about 2006-ish. Mm-hmm. So you didn't have an iPhone that had the recorder on it where you press a button. Hell, you didn't even have a flashlight on your phone yet.
No.
That was still not a thing. you could do flash camera, maybe. I don't think mine even had that yet. But I remember just walking around there, and I couldn't get the lights to turn on in one room. So I guess this is kind of either user malfunction, or maybe there was something, but there was a back room that was, it did feel eerie. It felt heavy down there, and it may have just been because I knew what the story was. But there was a separate back room in this basement, and I couldn't get the lights to work. And I was flipping the switch. Nothing would happen. Like, oh, maybe it just burned out. It's a shitty old basement. And then another person came down. They walked right in, flipped the lights, came on. So I'm like, well,
that's creepy.
I don't know what I did different, unless somebody flipped a breaker in between the two, which could have happened. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the last time I actually went on an investigation. But I don't know. I don't really have. I think I'm kind of with you in the boat of, I don't want shit coming home with me.
You know, the walking tours, like what we did in Mackinac.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Mm-hmm. But we didn't have to go in anywhere. We just walked around and looked at buildings and found out what happened there. Some place like that where I, you know, wouldn't have any real exposure. I like those. Those are great.
Sure. We're just kind of taking in history.
Yeah. Almost.
Which that episode, by the way, is of the Grave Talks, which we recorded this summer on Mackinac, on the other podcast, The Grave Talks. I think that that episode I know is in its entirety available to gravekeepers if you are one of those. But the public version of the episode, I think, goes live very soon.
Okay.
So if you want to hear that, it's really cool. If you've ever been to Mackinac Island, it has a very unique feel. You hear the horses walking around mm-hmm. and the people talking in the background. And that's exactly what it is. We walked around with a recorder one night and had a really good ghostly experience. So check that out, with no real ghost involved.
No ghost.
But it was a ghostly, you know, talk.
Really great.
So anyway, I heard a lot of positive things about that episode. If you want to check it out, over on The Grave Talks. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online. And let's go over to our first story of the day. It says, hey, so I have quite a few stories regarding my encounters with the paranormal. My house feels safe to me, but since my mom passing in 2010, a few weird and unexplainable things have happened. I don't know if this experience was just trauma related and my brain tricking me into seeing things, but I was sitting in my living room a few days after my mom had passed away, when I'm positive I saw my mom walk through the lounge. She appeared on one end of the rug that we have right in the center, kind of moved along as if she was walking, but she seemed to float by. She didn't even touch the ground and then just disappeared. She was so white, you would have imagined the way a ghost would be. I couldn't make out any facial features, but I felt okay with it. I was only 11 and would otherwise have freaked out at the situation like that, but it didn't scare me at all. Felt almost calming. Since losing my mom, I was too afraid to sleep on my own, so I would sneak into my dad's room and take my blanket to sleep with. One particular night, I could feel myself drifting off to sleep when I felt fingers walking up my arm gently, as if you were singing Itsy Bitsy Spider to a little kid. That makes sense. It scared the absolute hell out of me, and since then, I do not sleep with my arms out and the covers, even if it's midsummer and I'm way too hot. I like to think it's my mom. but I haven't seen her since. I only get to meet her in dreams occasionally. I had another occasion when I was maybe around 12. I was having a sleepover with my best friend at the time, and we were just sitting on the floor with a bedside lamp on, this being our only source of light. I sat facing the door, and my friend sat in front of it. I mentioned how it looked misty behind her and asked if she could see it too. Right when I asked, the bedside lamp literally flew off my bedside table and hit me in the head. The light went off and we both freaked out. I asked my friend to turn the big light on as quickly as possible. We must have sat in silence for a good few minutes. I'll never forget that moment and how vivid it still is in my mind. Whatever it was, it felt negative. It didn't even look like a person, just a big cloud of mist. I could see straight through it. Nothing else paranormal related has happened in my room since I sleep easy in there, but I sure as hell will not forget that night.
Do you think there's a higher incidence of people becoming ghosts when they leave behind children that aren't grown?
I would think, if you have a choice in the matter and you die, I would think most people would be like, I'm going to hang around for a while.
Yeah.
If given the choice. I think it just kind of comes down to, how much of an option do we have in picking the page of the choose your own adventure book of death?
Sure.
And if the option is, oh, go to the Golden Roads or whatever, you know, the options are, or hang around until they're done with high school. I think a lot of people should hopefully pick the hang around till they're done with high school option.
Well, I was just wondering, because you know how we've talked a lot about people that take their own lives?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a really high incidence of, you know, it seems like their ghost stays around.
Sure.
I wondered if it was like that with leaving behind a child, just because of the emotion there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just something I just thought of with this story.
I would think so. I would think that would be the case. Thanks for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your stories with us. Let's go to our next one. It says, hello, I've come across your show on YouTube. It says Earn Show on YouTube. I don't think it means our show, Earn Show. But maybe there's an Earn Show, too. It's like Antiques Roadshow with urns. And I like the stories that are told. I'm always interested to hear other people's experiences and some of the things that they have done in certain situations. I've been a paranormal investigator since 95. I've seen and heard things that I thought I never would. Some good and some just downright chilling. Got recordings and pictures. The town I live in is old. It's had its share of stories, not to mention the next town over has an old fort that's been investigated more than once. And you'll if you look up Golad, Texas Haunted Fort, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Well, things happen when you least expect them to. This happened back in 08. I just moved into a house that was down the road from my girlfriend at the time, the parents' house. She and I were getting furniture from the back of my truck, and our daughter was playing in the room that she wanted. After getting my daughter's clothes from the trunk, from the truck and taking them inside, my girlfriend comes to me and says, hey, we have company on permanent stay. You know that, right? Of course, I had no idea what she was talking about. She says, follow me. We go inside my daughter's room. She's playing with her blankets, like making a pallet on the floor and sliding into the closet. We thought it was for her stuffed animals. A girl asked her, is that for your babies to sleep on? And my daughter says, no, this is for the old man and the old lady that stay in my closet. They don't have a bed, so I'm making them one. She was only 5 at the time. We asked her if they were nice or did they scare her, and she said they were nice people. From the time that we lived there, we had a few things happen, some unusual noises, but outside the house was a different story. I have some pictures of that house I can show you, and I know how they may look, but I promise I was not smoking when they were taken, and there's a shack that's in the backyard. Not sure the history of that house, but there was a lot of activity outside. Noises, sometimes even flashes of light from nowhere. I can't explain a streak of light that's on me in one of the pictures. The camera that was used had no wrap string on it. It's a little $10 camera from a pawn shop. Well, I hope the story and the pictures are of interest. Keep up the good work, and may the godness bless you both with peace. I have a few more pics that I'd like to share. Email me if you're interested. in seeing them. I don't have the pictures in front of me to reference, but
I think it's interesting that the activity is outside and not inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not something we hear a whole lot.
No, it's not very common, but there have been stories of what's coming to my mind is people when they have stories of haunting things in their homes, sometimes they'll make references to, and oh my God, a horrible storm went through that night and you could hear it outside and the hail hitting the house and everything that mm-hmm. you'd experience in a storm. And then they go out the next day and there's no damage. And the neighbor said, what a lovely night it was last night, wasn't it? We're surprised you didn't see you on your porch. Yeah. And it's like, there was no storm. There was mm-hmm. nothing. I think we've had, I mean, there's some really dark stories of haunted houses, even to the point where like there is evidence of something that happened, all the way down to like rocks mm-hmm. Having fallen from the sky or somehow appearing all over a lawn, things of that nature.
Yeah.
And like the neighbor's house doesn't have anything. And it's not common just for a rock system to come through.
No.
And land specifically on one property and then not touch others. Happens from time to time in Kansas, but it's kind of rare. But that happens. I mean, that's what, when I'm thinking of exterior stuff, that's what comes to mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what, you know, what to make of that. I think there was talk of that in the Amityville case, where they were, then people use that argument to debunk their case too. And I'm not using it that way, but that is a phenomena that happens in that story of, these storms that we're going through. And then the weather records show that there was no storms at that point in time. But if you go off a lot of paranormal cases that are really dark, that sort of shit happens.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Very, very bizarre. I mean, there have been cases where shit falls from the sky because there's another storm system nearby, like a tornado picked something up and flew it somewhere.
Yeah, that happens.
But I don't know that that's ever been like part of a ghost story that we've had where it's like, hey, turns out the town down the road, a canning factory was hit, and that's why all these cans of Green Giant landed in the back. That happened near my hometown.
Really?
Green Giant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oakfield tornado.
Mm-hmm.
Big one, F5, hit a canning factory, and like 5 miles away, Green Giant cans landed everywhere.
Yeah.
And the pictures, they're from like the early 90s. I think it was like 92, 93, 94, somewhere or other. But it was weird. It's like, holy shit, it's raining aluminum cans.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't, you know, look out your window or realize that there was a storm going on, that would be rather bizarre to have creamed corn cans landing in your.
So when I was a teenager, I worked for the Chamber of Commerce
mm-hmm.
in the town where I grew up.
Yeah.
And our town, right before we moved there, had been leveled by a tornado in F5.
Yeah.
Very famous one at the time. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it hit a huge housing development and it carried stuff because this tornado stayed on the ground for almost 45 minutes. So it carried stuff a long ways away. Well, a lot of people in surrounding areas found like pictures and papers and things like that. They didn't know who to give it to, so they sent it to City Hall. There are boxes and boxes in the basement of City Hall that have pictures and photos of things that belong to people that, you know, were returned.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, talking about cans of stuff falling, imagine people's mementos falling in your yard, and then you'd be like, what do I do with this?
And this is years later that the box, some of the stuff are still there, like just hoping people are going to show up and check it out. Like, well, hey, maybe I'll finally go get my stuff.
You know, they didn't really have a good way to return the stuff to the people. I mean, they knew the houses that had been hit, which was most of the town. But, mm-hmm. you know, you take a picture of somebody's, you know, high school photo from 1978. They don't look like what they did in 1991.
Sure.
So it's like, you know, it's just something that they were kind of like, we don't know how to get this back to the people. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Should we display it and say, come see? You know, there's no way to know that those people are taking what's really theirs. And it's not anything of real value. It's sentimental value. But mm-hmm. they have these boxes. I mean, this was 2001 that I knew they still had these boxes of things.
Yeah.
Did anybody die in that tornado?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot.
So it makes you wonder, you know, I would suppose a lot of people probably went there to go see if they could find their stuff. And you almost have to wonder if the stuff that's still left those years later, maybe folks who had passed, and that's why it wasn't claimed.
When I found out about it, it always creeped me out.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I don't want to go find tornado, you know, remnants.
Victims' stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. On that happy note.
Sorry.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. What there was, I don't know why this came to mind, but speaking of tornadoes hitting buildings and weird shit falling from the sky, we were the other day, we were near the macaroni factory, Kraft. Can you imagine if something hit that and like macaroni started falling from the sky somewhere? Children would think the meatball movie is coming to life.
Could you imagine the thin layer of cheese powder that would be on everything forever, like sheetrock dust?
Oh my God, you'd have that, and it's a Heinz. It's like Kraft Heinz, isn't it? So you'd have, oh my God, the kids in those neighborhoods would be like, holy shit, there's macaroni falling in the dust slowly settling. And cheese!
It's cloudy with a chance of meatballs.
Then a wave of ketchup goes flying over. Wow. You almost kind of root for that to happen.
Not at all.
It's like that would be amazing and horrible all at the same time. 855-853-4802. Our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Our next letter says, well, I'm no stranger to the paranormal. I've had experiences off and on as long as I can remember, some terrifying and some not so much. This event happened in 2010 in Kentucky, where I lived with my ex and her two daughters. Our relationship at the time was rocky at best. I was going to school full time and working a full time job, trying my hardest to support my ex and her children. The weekend, the girls were staying the weekend with their grandparents. My ex had her girlfriend. Yes, you read that right. Staying the weekend with us. I wasn't involved. It was about 1 a.m. on Saturday morning, and I was lying on the couch trying to sleep. I had the TV on, and George Lopez is playing in the background. And finally gotten too comfortable when I heard a whisper in my ear that said, she doesn't love you anymore. I was so exhausted from the day that I just kind of shrugged it off and drifted off to sleep. The next night, roughly around midnight, my ex and her girlfriend were upstairs, and I was sitting on the couch finishing up a term paper that was due following Monday. I was focused on the laptop and getting up to make sure that the paper was getting done. But at the corner of my eye, I noticed slight movement. I turned my head and looked, and there was this beautiful brunette. She had to be maybe around 21 years old, had medium hair, was wearing a light blue tank top and what looked like dark pajama pants. She and I locked eyes, and she just gave me the sweetest smile. She turned and walked upstairs, and the odd thing was the stairs always make noise when any kind of pressure is on them. About 10 seconds later, I heard screaming from upstairs, and my ex and her girlfriend come running downstairs, freaking out. I asked what the hell was going on, and that's when I noticed that my ex had a red handprint on her chest as if someone had slapped her. That night, we all ended up crashing in the living room, and I was the only one to get sleep. I don't know if that spirit was looking out for me because I knew I wasn't comfortable with the situation, but I'm thankful for the event that transpired because a month after that, he and I split up. I haven't been happier. As far as I know, she still lives in the same apartment with the girls, and she seems to be the only target. Thank you.
So I think the ghost had a crush.
Yeah, it was like intervention there of like, this is a bad relationship dynamic and you need to get out of it. And the ghost kind of stuck up for him.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That's kind of cool.
Ghost ghost intervening there. Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your ghost stories with us. And let's jump over to a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, you guys. This is the first time I ever called in. I'm not going to leave my name. I don't know. I'm looking for answers, essentially. I live in southeastern Pennsylvania. I've lived in my home now for 3 years. And this incident just occurred last Sunday. I was in my home. My other family members were out. They were shopping. It was, like I said, last Sunday, which was a nice sunny day, and I had just put on a movie. And as I sat down, I was couple minutes into the movie, my dog, Nessa, was laying on the floor next to me, next to the sofa, and I heard a loud bang, and I could tell that I wasn't the only one hearing it, because, of course, like any normal dog would do, Nessa also perked up her ears and looked down the hallway where the sound was coming from also. I have a cat that's about 8 months old. His name's Pete. So immediately I thought, oh, great, what has Pete gotten into, you know? So I tell Nessa to stay, and I get up, and I go to investigate, and sometimes the dog and the cat kind of instigate each other. So I had Nessa stay out in the living room. I walk down the hallway, and I go and I look over to my daughter's bedroom, and there's Pete. He is curled up on her bed, fast asleep. So then I got a little weird feeling, and I thought, I'm the only one home, and the two living things in my home, are, I could see them and know what they're doing. So I didn't think much of it, and I look around my daughter's room to make sure nothing was broken or nothing fell, that kind of thing. And then I go into my bedroom, I open the door, because I always keep my bedroom door closed. It's just what I do. I've always done it since I bought the house. And there on my, in the middle of my bedroom on the wooden floor was my makeup mirror, which is a mirror that's pretty heavy that has batteries in it that actually lights up. It wasn't broken, but it was on the floor. It was originally on my dresser, along with two other items. Just some lotion, makeup, not that that's irrelevant to it. But they, all three of those items were on the floor. Now I wouldn't think anything of that, but it kind of gave me chills because I'm going to confess here. The top of my dresser where these items were, has several more items up on it, including one of the items is an almost completely empty bottle of perfume that is a plastic bottle that was still standing there that had not fallen off the dresser at all. So logically, I'm standing there and I'm looking around the room. In my room's on the second story. I honestly stood in the middle of this room and go and asked myself, was there an earthquake when I was on the couch in the living room? And I didn't realize it. I then picked the items back up, and when I put the mirror back, because these items had been in that position, I mean, for months now, months and months and months, I put them in the exact same spot. The actual spot where the mirror was absolutely clear. There was nothing there that was in the way of where the mirror was that looked like it pushed it over. So I stood there for a couple more minutes in the room and kind of investigated and tried to give and find a reason for why just these three items were pushed, thrown, fell off of my dresser. I even came up with the analogy of, oh, well, maybe there's a mouse that I have mice in my house. I even looked for tracks, that kind of thing. Nothing. So to this day, and I told my husband about it, I haven't told the kids because I don't want to scare them, but I told my husband about it, and I pleaded with him. I said, listen, I feel like I'm nuts. If you can give me a legitimate reason why just these three items fell, I'll accept it. I'll sleep better. And, of course, he came up with it. We brushed it off. Well, last night I was laying in my bed. My husband was outside at this point. He was in the garage, and I'd gotten ready for bed, and I got in bed there, and I was on my phone just scrolling through stuff, and sure enough, the same exact makeup, not the mirror, just the makeup only, fell off my dresser. Did I see it happen? No. The lights were out. I was looking at my phone. I heard it. I put the light on my phone and shined it over to where this sound came, and sure enough, there's the bottle of makeup sitting on the floor. Nothing else fell. I was in the room when this happened. I didn't get like an eerie feeling. I kind of just brushed off. I haven't told my husband about it. I stood up, turned on the light to the room, looked around, tried again to go, you know, did something push this off? I didn't see anything. I shrugged it off because I didn't want to scare myself and being like an idiot when my husband came into the bedroom. I do think back to when I was younger and when I was a kid, I would always get eerie feelings like, people were watching me, and I'd turn around and nobody was there. Sometimes I'd get nervous in a certain room in a house for no reason. I can remember as a kid, my friend had a look, what are those boards called? I forget what they're called. A Ouija board. There we go. And I just got a very eerie feeling. And as a young kid, and I was like, no, I don't want to play with this, and got out of the basement. So I'm just trying to say that I have had weird feelings, but I've always believed there's a logic reason for these things. So I've never, I guess, completely allowed myself to believe in these things. And I'm not even sure if they're even real right now. I don't have a logical reason for it. I went as far to actually Google if last Sunday there was an earthquake in southeastern Pennsylvania. Like, maybe I was missing it as I was sitting on the couch. And, of course, there was not. So if you guys have a logical reason, maybe I could sleep a little better, or I'm not kidding when I say this, I actually Googled after that happened, like, how to cleanse your house. So probably today I'm going to get some sage and burn that. I've never done it before. Found that on the internet. Hope it works. Hope it doesn't make anybody angry. I'm a little nervous. But again, I guess if anybody could give me some suggestions of what could have caused that other than what I'm fearing, that would be appreciated. Sorry if it's a little long. I just don't know what I'm going through here. This is the first time anything's ever happened in this house. I will be quite frank with you. Every now and then I'll go in certain rooms of the house, and I get a feeling like I'm not alone. Not a scary feeling, not a harmful feeling, just like somebody else is in the room with me. Never seen anything, never heard anything. So I'm hoping to keep it that way. Thanks. Sorry for the ramble, and have a great day, you guys.
Bye. Two things. You're crazy, and you have mice. That's...
Oh,
I'm kidding.
That's awful.
I'm just picking the two things out that she didn't want to hear. No, I mean, I think there's something clearly, obviously, going on there. Scrubbing bubbles makes a new scrubbing demons one, too, that you can use for cleaning, cleansing. You don't need the sage anymore. It's in the bubbles.
I think it would have been easier to dismiss it had it not happened again and been the same exact three items.
Mm-hmm.
Why it's those three items, I don't know. I'm assuming they're not all together in one, you know, condensed spot, that they were like selected individually to be knocked off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But, you know, if it hasn't happened but the two times, I'm curious if this is going to just kind of go away on its own.
I am too. The fact that it is only this one occurrence, and I give her, you know, kudos for looking up earthquakes and things like that. Mm-hmm. You should do that. You should look into all the possible logical explanations.
And there's a lot of places that have earthquakes now that didn't before.
Yep.
They're small, but they're enough to knock stuff off a shelf.
Exactly. So, you know, she did her diligence and realized that that's probably not what it was. I'd say give it some time. I'd be cautionary on the saging and that sort of stuff, especially if it's not reoccurring.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, your mind can go wild with, oh, I have to get rid of this, but it may have already come and gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes you have spirits just kind of passing through and they're going to do their thing and they're out. I think sometimes when you start stirring things up like that, you may be bringing more back in too.
Yeah.
You know, just be cautious about that. If it continues to happen, I can see going down that road possibly, but sometimes they're looking for an invitation of recognition, and you start to give them that, you may start to get more of them.
Yeah.
It's like cats. You know, ghosts are kind of like cats in some ways.
You feed them and then more show up.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, be cautious, and cats are the same way too. If you respect them, a lot of times they'll respect you.
Yeah.
You don't abuse the cat. You don't hurt the cat. The cat will be nice to you. Mm-hmm. You're mean to the cat and vindictive to the cat. The cat will be mean and vindictive right back to you too. And it could go either way. It's all about how you treat it.
Yeah.
So, just be cautious. Let us know, what happens. Do you think it was a haunting here? You think it was something paranormal?
I think maybe, but it's hard to know with how, you know, sporadic it was.
I agree. I don't fault her at all, though, for going down that road after trying to exhaust all the possible explanations.
Yeah.
And thinking, well, what is this, though? Mm-hmm. So it's still kind of in the iffy stage. More happens. You know, it gives us a little more evidence and more direction on what's going on. So keep us posted. Thanks for listening. And thanks for feeling comfortable enough to share your story with us. That's why we are here. That's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. That wasn't an EVP. That was me pressing the wrong button. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP. Go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus material, EPP bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week. We're going through the book right now and giving you the audiobook before anybody else. So it's really cool going through some of our best ghost stories there. Yeah, check it out. Ghostpodcast.com, patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.